The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 141. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and today I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How you doing?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, what up?
Brian Manjoma.
I finally seen Spider-Man.
Thwip.
Hey.
Brett Murdoch.
Solar Flare, motherfucker.
And Adam Vale.
That's right, Solar Flares.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's actually what they sound like for those of you.
So throw down. We don't know what's going to happen tonight. Some shit is going on with Google, YouTube. Apparently, solar flares. I think Superman's fighting Solar Man. I don't know what's happening right now. So we apologize for the shitty video quality that we're apparently experiencing right now.
If the show guys have that episode,
it is Night Trap. You know, by the way, I completely, because again, I'm so concerned with this whole like show right now that I completely forgot that I wanted Manny do his impersonation of Geese Howard.
You mean at last I have the final move to the Hakuyoko Sacred School of Learning.
See, I want to do the intro like this. So yeah, Geese Howard is in Tekken 7. Like, what?
You know what? I get it, because they already have fucking Akuma in there, right? So they're like, you know what? You can obviously tell that the guy, you know, the guy who does Tekken is just like a huge fighting game fan. He's just let's throw all these guys in there. I'm down with it. To be honest, Geese looks way better in that fucking game than he does in that dumb King of Fighters shit that they put out.
Facts.
He looks like the original concept art. Like the, you know that like they had that kind of photorealistic artist on there. It was a semi-real anime look. He looks like that. Why doesn't the fucking game look like that shit instead of like crappy ass like 1990s CGI?
1990s CGI.
Yeah. So my thing is like, you know, just quickly. Okay, so you got Akuma, you got Geese Howard. Now you need somebody from Virtua Fighter in this bitch. Like, why not, right? Let's just go crazy. Probably, like, the guy that probably would probably get is Akira. Although, I would say throw Shun D in that bitch just because.
I'd say throw in Brock Lesnar, go all out.
Maybe just a wrestling guy.
That's a wrestler.
From the wrestling game.
I definitely, if they do throw in some more characters from other games, I definitely do not think it would be anybody from an American game. I don't think it'll be anybody from Mortal Kombat. Like,
Somebody from Virtua Fighter in a Tekken game? Or when I think about,
they've been in the Dead or Alive games.
That's right. Yeah.
Which sucks, man. It's like the only Virtua Fighter shit we get is Dead or Alive
and Yakuza 6. So you can play Virtua Fighter 5 in the arcade. It's like, come on, man, Sega, give us Virtua Fighter already, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about Tekken's the greatest 3D fighter. No, but it is fucking Virtua Fighter. Get out of here with that Tekken shit, you know? All right, let's get into it, man. Questions. All right, Final Stage Boss. So he's asking, Forza 7 is just a racing game, but it will clock over 100 gigs in 4K. How big do you think more resource-heavy games in other genres will get, and will this be a problem in the future?
Now for some people.
It's a problem now. So, but I mean, how big do you think these games are gonna get? Like 200 gigs and shit? You know, like how far can we go?
Well, again, you gotta think of higher texture resolution. They probably are throwing higher resolution cars in there. So it's gonna get huge. That's just the plain fact. You know?
Yeah, but I mean how big do you think it'll get?
It could get incredibly huge, because you just have to think about how much resolution you're having. You think about like you know, as far as textures go, you have to go with higher resolution textures, stuff like that. 4K, like 1080p stuff, only just passes the 4K mark, but you still see all those low res like textures and like low res like a bump map stuff on there. So, yeah, it's gonna get crazy huge.
Yeah.
So that means that means those motherfuckers need to get on them hard drive sizes.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
they definitely need to do that. But then their answer is just external. You know, you can go up to 8 gigs. I mean, 8 terabytes on the external. So if you have you could do up to I think 2 terabytes internal, and then the 8 after that. So you got 10 terabytes of data.
100 gigabytes seems a little excessive.
But that's exactly what it is.
But that's nothing.
No, I know that's exactly what it is, but I don't know how much of that is trash or inefficient coding, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to throw mud here, but like, you know, Minecraft's a great example. Like, everybody loves that game, but it is not necessarily coded well. Like, there are lots of unnecessary things in there. And a lot of games that get released, modders go in and kind of clean up some of the code. You know, you have to remember that not everybody working on this kind of thing, you know, is a prodigy. It's kind of like artists. You have different calibers of different talents, and you know, it's not only the best coders that are going to make this game. So I'd be willing to put money down that you could actually reduce the file size on that if they wanted to put in the time.
Well, also, you know, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, there's also going to be a lot of times when a lot of these modders dig into the games, you see that there's all these other systems and things that are just been locked off, because a lot of times some of these things are so ingrained inside of these game engines that it's really difficult to just remove it. It's much easier to just wall off the location and just leave it alone. That's where Hot Coffee came from.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
That was just a system that was inside of it. But I don't think a lot of that stuff, like a lot of that stuff that's still left in the games is still going to take up as much space as doing a higher resolution game, you know.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff is high def video and imageries, right? Mm-hmm. That's what's bloating the code. I highly doubt there's a lot of engine changes. They bragged about the fact that Forza was so easy to port over, right, with very few tweaks. So I doubt this is bloat. Engine bloat. This is more just replacing all of the video and textures and everything with very high res versions, right? So that's where all this extra space requirements coming from.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know. Like, how much?
You know, the fact is, these games are going to get bigger and bigger.
Think of all the DLC that comes also later on.
That's what I'm saying. These games are going to get fucking huge. You know?
How much space does a digital copy of a 4K movie take up?
I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah,
but a game is way bigger than a movie.
I mean, but even that takes a 4K, a normal 4K movie actually does take a lot of space. So like, think about like not only is Forza obviously using pre-rendered video, most games do. They're using a lot of all this stuff. Not that, in addition to that, they're probably using higher resolution textures and bump maps and lighting. All kinds of all this stuff needs to hold up in a 4K mode. So, I mean, and if you ever looked at the size of a 1080p of what 1080p is compared to a 4K, it only fits like a 1080 is only like a lower left corner of a much larger image. So you really need to bump up everything on there.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I was asking, is I'm thinking off of like, well, how much it does, how much video capacity does your average 2 hours of Blu-ray take up? And that's generally about 4 or 5 gigs, generally speaking. So I'm trying to think of that in terms of if this were a Blu-ray game, that would be an obscene amount. Now, if a Blu-ray movie or if a 4K movie actually takes up, you know, 10 to 15 gigs worth of memory, I guess 100 gigs for a full game wouldn't be that unreasonable. So I'm trying to find context in this, I guess, because 100 gigs sounds just fucking stupid. I mean, even if you have a terabyte hard drive, that's that's yeah, still kind of fucking
stupid. That's the future, you know. All these games are going to. I'm predicting 200 gig games and shit, even crazier stuff.
Remember that. When the Halo Master Chief Collection came out, and that was over 70.
Maybe. Yeah.
No, and yeah, exactly.
Well, that, I think that was bloat. Like, there's several games that have come out where, like, you download them, like, and you're like, Jesus Christ, is this really 50 gigs worth of game right here?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, but the point is, like, even if it is bloat, we're probably going to see more developers do that. Here's the thing, when you get DLC, they don't, like take away anything. They keep all the old shit in there, too, you know? They keep it all in there. Think about it like this. Whenever you have to, like, update your game, you almost have to download the exact same amount of file size that the game was originally, because they're not doing anything new to it. They're just throwing all that old shit in there, too, you know?
And that's what I'm saying. Right now, that makes economic sense for them because, fuck it, most people have extra storage space or can make extra storage space, and it's not really financially responsible for them to go down and try and, you know, compress as much of their code as possible to be a smaller file size. But when you get to the point where you're talking about 100, 150 gigs per game, that's going to limit a lot of people to, you know, only so many games installed on their PC at once. And that's going to limit market share, which will in turn affect sales. And then you will see that affect the bottom line. And then you'll actually see companies being like, oh shit, we need to keep this under this much. Otherwise, your average consumer won't put it on their hard drive because they don't have the room. If it becomes a problem, it'll be a self-regulating problem as soon as it starts to affect the profit margin.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. All right, let's move on here. Mr. Gary Swaybe, some questions. His first one is, besides just 4K gaming and spec improvements, what could Sony do with the PlayStation 5 to get gamers excited about buying it? Simple. Get some good games on it. That's it. That's all you need, man. Get some good games and go buy it.
Listen, we don't need to have a dick flashing contest. All we need to do is how much power your console has. That's besides the point. The main thing is games. And it'll always be games, no matter the power, no matter the speed.
Yeah, I don't even think we need to go in depth with that question. Just games. That's it. Good games. People.
It's going to be either way, though. It's going to be tough because they have to break the comparison and say, you know what? This is the reason why you need a 5. And it's tough now because, like we said, not a lot of people have jumped to 4K. You know?
Yeah,
so,
I mean, I see what you're saying because it is getting like. I really think we've reached like a peak when it comes to graphics. Like it's harder to tell, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's going to be tough. But if you have the good games, even if you can't tell that they look better than last gen games or current gen games, people still buy it regardless. Especially if you tell them, hey, you can only play Uncharted 6 on fucking PlayStation 5, you know?
We've reached a peak when it comes to the way we look at pixel density. But as far as graphics, like if we go back to what Brett has like always talked about, how improving CPU can make for better things like destructible environments and like more enemies on the screen, stuff like that. There's always ways to improve that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the enemies on screen stuff will be a tough sell because remember they tried that last gen. You saw how well that went off. You know, 1 million soldiers is like okay, you have a million soldiers, but the game isn't any better. You know,
yeah, they're all Dead Rising. Remember Dead Rising?
Like a zillion zombies. You know,
the thing is that there's always has to whenever you do those sorts of things that have to do with, you know, CPU, you know, calculations and AI, you have to really show that in. Effect. You have to show that in action. That's why when they did show Shadow of Mordor, they were like, all right, this is the only way you can experience this game. You get this kind of, you know, get the Nemesis system, they remember what you do, stuff like that. Same thing with all those other stuff. So, I mean, if they're going to, I don't think those, despite, I know for a lot of us, it'll definitely sell. You know, like, you know, hey, look, we can put 1 million soldiers and they all have unique, AI that adapts to what you do. But the thing is, to regular consumer, you know, Joe Schmo, what does he see? He's like, all right, they can do stuff. How good does the game
look? You can also build graphical systems. Like, you can use a CPU to basically decide the physics on which your clothing is going to fold and drape or whatnot.
How do you sell that to Joe Blow on the street?
Yeah. You feel like,
the clothing looks so real. It's like
they're not gonna give a fuck about that.
I don't give a fuck about that. How good does the game look? you're essentially trying to sell it to hip hop gamer.
Dude, do you not remember how much people freaked out about like how cool like the cape flowing mechanics were in Bloodborne? Don't you remember people bitching
about that? Nobody talked about that shit.
You were the only one.
You were the only one talking. No one talked about that
shit. Oh, man. No, I remember hearing about that shit. I remember hearing about how the reason Skyrim couldn't
read. You obviously heard yourself saying that because.
In my echo chamber. Well, you know the reason Skyrim couldn't have capes is because the system couldn't handle it.
And they do capes now? And did they add capes to the new one?
No, they added capes and mods.
But Brett, see, the point is, like, you can't go to people, hey, capes fold in this game. No one's going to buy a game.
Like, yo, so you're like, yo, man, you really need to get this game because of the cape physics.
Go to capes, son.
No, but that like, if you had things with really cool lighting effects and really cool, you know, fabric flowing physics and things like that, or if you made a game where if you punch somebody in the shoulder, they don't recoil in a preset animation. They actually recoil based upon where you hit them, and you put that into a video and show somebody, people will absolutely be like, "Did you see him? Yeah, you hit him in the left shoulder, and his left shoulder swung back. That's pretty fucking cool."
Hey, I know how they can sell the PS5. Show them the Watch Dogs we saw 4 years ago.
Yeah. So, like, I think again, it's very difficult to quantify to general audiences certain things. It's like, okay, you could shoot somebody. It's like, okay, you got reaction. You could shoot somebody in the hand, in the arm, and then a regular Joe Blow out there would be like, so you can shoot somebody. Who gives a shit?
Shit.
You know what I mean? How good does it look? Does it, you know, they usually won't really ask. I don't think they usually ask if it plays well. Just like, is it fun or whatever like that. It's very simple terms. And that's how these things have to be broken down to Joe Blow.
But I feel like that's already happened. Like, do you remember when headshots were first introduced and how people were like, oh my God, now if you shoot somebody in the head, it actually matters. Like, I know people were talking about, you know, the zombie Call of Duty. And how, like, oh, man, you can shoot off their feet now. Like, there are some things that people freak out about. They're like, oh, man, I actually dismembered somebody.
But those are, like, drastic things. You can literally shoot someone's foot off.
Do you remember the Metal Gear game where you fucking, when they showed it off, how you could actually, it looked like cut things in whatever direction that you want. And then it kind of came out a little bit like, nah, it's more of a quick time event. But when people had the idea of, like, wait, let me get this straight. Like, I could just cut through something.
Come on, Revengeance. And before that, when Metal Gear Solid 2, it was crazy. You actually shoot the cups and stuff, right? But again, that's simple stuff. You could easily convey that. You can't convey like, this guy has 60 different fabrics under his shirt. It's like,
yes, you can shoot the cups and you can shoot the ice and watch the ice melt. But that's stuff that's nutty detail that Kojima and the, like, they put into those, which brings a reality to it, but it's not really a selling point. And you gotta sell it to Joe Blow, who's like, okay, can you shoot somebody in the game? Yes, great. I love it. You know?
Would you play a fighting game where you could break someone's arm and have it be broken for the rest of the match?
Yeah, they you could sell that.
Bushido Blade.
Something like that.
Yeah, Bushido Blade, that's right. You could kill somebody one hit in that game.
You could kill somebody, you know? Yeah.
Oh, I missed that game.
You know what I did?
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Manny. Then we'll move on.
No, it's about Bushido Blade. Who cares about that? Forget it.
Let's move on, man. Who cares about that? We will get back to the average consumer gamer in a little bit, by the way. Another related question to that. But Gary's next question is, when playing a competitive video game online, do you feel like it should be a standard thing for people to communicate over a headset, or is it acceptable to play without communicating? Adam, I'm looking straight at you.
What kind of gameplay? I didn't hear the first part.
Online competitive gaming.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Yeah, no, absolutely. If you're trying to do a team-based game, like if you're playing like Ghost Recon or you're playing any like if you're doing Call of Duty, any of that stuff, it's absolutely crucial to have a headset.
Yeah, I think that one of the reasons he's asking is because, and this was notorious last gen, PlayStation guys did not have headsets. They didn't talk to each other online while playing games. Like, they chatted and shit, like text chat, but they didn't really talk to each other. Now every system comes with a headset, so that's not an excuse anymore.
You need it. The only time you don't need a headset is if you're playing like what you just talked about, a fighting game.
Yeah,
you don't need to hear the bullshit of like, yo, I just fucked you up, motherfucker. You don't need to hear any of that. Son. Yeah, exactly. You don't need to hear all that shit. But when you're doing something that's team-based, you absolutely need, you know, if you're playing Gears or something and people are trying to set things up, especially in horde mode, I was like, yo, I do need to talk. I've seen people get booted out because they don't have a headset. You know, a lot of games do that. It was like, yo, you have a headset? No headset? Psh, sorry, got to go. We don't give a shit if you're high level.
I like what a hard rocking guy says. He goes, I don't want to hear someone's shitty music blurring through their shitty headset. The reggaeton.
Oh, God, yeah. Every time I'm on a headset, it's bong rips and Latin babies.
Yeah. No, I'm playing like FIFA or something, yeah, I have the volume off. I don't need to hear that shit. I don't need to hear anything that the other guy has to say.
But, yeah, I generally agree with you. If you're going to play a competitive game, get on a fucking headset, man.
Yeah, you need it. You need it. You know. And then if you don't like the people that's in your group, then back out and join another one.
Yep, play with your buddies, man.
Yeah, if you play, find some buddies. Go on a group. The best way, and I think this is – it's worked out for me so far. If you're on Xbox, go to clubs. If you're on the PlayStation, go to the communities. Because those people that are in those groups, most of the time, they're serious. I feel like, yo, I'm looking for a bunch of people. We're trying to level up. They'll send you invites, and you're all on the same mindset. You know what I mean? You don't have a bunch of guys that just go BSing. You know, these people are serious. I see a lot of that with GTA 5 online.
Oh,
you
know, God. People
like, yo, I'm trying to do these bank robberies. This is what I want to do. I don't want to do all this side bullshit. All right, I'm in. You know, so you get everybody on the same wavelength, and then you just get it done.
GTA is the worst, I think. I think the argument for why you shouldn't have headsets is to spend 5 minutes in a GTA lobby.
No, you bring your friends, create your own party chat, and you don't have to hear any of that shit.
Yeah, party chat is a different thing. I'm not sure if, like, I took the question more as, in general, should you be trying to communicate even with pickup groups? To which I'm generally like, fucking no.
I think overall he was trying to say, like, do you need a headset for any of that competitive gaming? And you do.
I mean, yeah. If you want to be good, there has to be a certain level of communication. But I've played games with plenty of strangers where, you know, if you know what your job is, then you know what you should be doing. And the only thing you're going to get from having a headset on is people blaming each other. So, I don't personally think you need one for a lot of stuff. I played, you know, Dark Souls is notorious for cooperation without communication. I mean, I talked to the guys on here, but like, you never ever talk to anybody through a headset on those games. I mean, maybe you do on Xbox, but it's just kind of always been, I guess, kind of a tradition to go quietly. And I think
and that became from the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because there was no headsets.
But it's weird then. Then if we go on that, then I guess PC gamers were the ones that really jumped into the Xbox world first because they were already accustomed to a headset. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what you're saying then. If you're going based off of that, oh, well, the PlayStation guys were the ones who are always quiet because they're not used to the headset.
Well, I will definitely say PC owners are the most adamant about needing to own a headset. I mean, there are a lot of PC players that will just not fucking deal with you if you don't have, you know, a chat server or a Discord or whatever and a headset and mic. Like, they'll just, nope, I'm done. No, just moving along. You can't be part of our group. You can't join us. You can't fight with us. Just get the fuck out of here. I don't see as much of that on consoles. Granted, maybe there's more of that on Xbox, but it seems, at least to me in the PC world, that you have to have a headset. Otherwise, it's like bringing a GoBot to a Transformers party. Everyone's like, get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Oh, man. All right, anybody else want to say anything about this? I think we've pretty much covered it.
Yeah. All right. Don't play Call of Duty on consoles because the guys there just don't give a... Like, they all just, like... As much as Brett like complains about the GTA guys, I'd say that the Call of Duty guys are like,
oh yeah, probably are.
Kids get bitched out on Call of Duty. I've just been there just laughing my ass off.
Hey, Brian, you sound a little low, by the way. You get yourself up a little bit.
How about now?
Nah, you're still low.
No. How about now?
Yeah. Oh, forget.
Sounds fine.
You sound fine. It's just low. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The Call of Duty guys, I think that those guys are kind of the worst in terms of just not giving a damn about mics. They just leave it on. They play the shit music. They shout out the people in the household and have babies crying. I can't stand babies crying. Like, if you have a kid that's crying, just please turn off your mic. That's all I ask.
I think they shouldn't be playing such a violent game around anyone because they're going to hear it. They're going to hear the shots.
No, just kids crying. I can't stand it in general in life.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't bring them to movies. Don't bring
kids. Yeah. Don't bring them to movies either.
You know, it's also silly. I mean, obviously, because people don't know how to do this, but they literally can play their music through the fucking PlayStation and Xbox. They don't need to have it going all over the goddamn place. If you're wearing a headset, why not have everything come through the headset? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have everything coming through my headset.
Exactly. Why would you? Okay, it makes absolutely no sense. You have your TV on, blaring like loud as hell, and then you also have a pair of headphones on and talking to your buddies. Just combine that shit.
Yeah, people don't want to think. All right, man, let's move on here. Let's move on. Mr. G Megaforce 123. So his first question is, do you take good care of your systems and games? Over the years, I've seen used consoles and games in pretty poor condition. Made me wonder what the heck the person did with them. Scratches, missing manuals, severely worn out pieces. Surely you take good care of your systems and games, right, guys? I still have my original PlayStation 1. While not perfect, it is still in decent shape. Most of my stuff is in great condition. Could easily go for new. And yes, I do play them. I my original copy of Metal Gear Solid is beat up, but still kicking. Yeah, I paid money for that shit. I'm taking good care of it.
same here. All of my stuff is as good as new. I still, for a lot of my consoles like PlayStation 1 and 2, I still have the boxes for them. My 3DO is stored away at my mom's place. Still works good. Maybe I think the battery is probably dead inside of it. I don't know. But other than that, yeah, all of my stuff is as good as new. I remember one time I sold my Wii off. I forgot when.
You cut it off.
I sold it, right? I sold my Wii, and literally the person at the store was like, because I had the box, everything, and I packed it up all nice, and they're like, did you actually play this thing? I'm like, yes. And they're like, wow, this thing is like pristine. It's almost like new. I'm like, well, yeah, what am I to do? I'm gonna drop soda on it, you know? But, you know, the thing is, especially, and I'm sure, you know, a couple of our friends who worked at GameStop were inside of the chat, you know, they probably have some incredible horror stories about some consoles.
Yeah, for sure. The only thing I like fuck up, kind of fuck up is the thumbsticks, because I can't help that. It's just the way I play. But I never like broken a controller, because again, those cost money. Back in the day, I didn't take as good care of shit as I should have. Like, remember my Super Nintendo was kind of fucked up, but then I learned years later, no, Tony, you're supposed to get stained like that if you had a certain model, you know. But no, everything I have is in good condition. Even now, every day in the morning, I dust my consoles off, and in the evening, I dust my consoles off. Even if I don't play them, you know, I just want to keep everything nice. Again, I paid money for this. Why am I gonna like bring a console home around and just start kicking it around or something?
You don't kick it and hit it. What the hell? What's wrong?
Like, yo, let me put food on top of my console.
You piss off at your game. You don't like snap the control in half and throw it on the.
Well, no, that's not always your option. Like the PlayStation 2 was a piece of shit. I'm gonna be honest there. I know you guys aren't gonna like hearing that, but those things were built like shit.
Oh yeah, my first PS2 died on me. The discrete error and shit. But again, I took care of that shit, boy.
Dude, literally, we bought a PlayStation new. Pulled it out of the box, put it in, opened the tray, put a disc in, closed the tray, and the front of the tray just fell off. Oh, like, there was a 2-second delay, and it just fell off for, like, comedic effect.
Damn.
Wah, wah, wah. But anyway, Brett, I'm assuming you take good care of your shit, right?
Generally speaking, yeah. I probably don't pull it out and dust it as much as I should, and I am not real great about... You know, I do leave my systems in entertainment system compartments, which we all know that's not really the best because it tends to trap heat.
Yeah, that's like the system killer right there. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not great about that because I don't have a lot of surface space. Everybody's consoles should be dusted monthly and be out on an open surface with open air around them and not in any kind of entertainment system or cubby. But I think that's the bare minimum of not taking care of stuff that most of us are probably guilty of.
Yeah, pretty sure.
So obviously, beyond that, I take great care of my stuff.
Yeah. Does anybody in this room that doesn't take good care of their shit? Let's just be real here.
I take care of my stuff.
If you consider not dusting off like twice a day, that me.
I don't know. If you dust it at least once a week, you're probably good, right?
Yeah. Are you talking about canned air dusting?
Whatever, you know, like air dusting.
There's a lot of people that
running,
don't.
You know, running one of those.
I used those, the thing, you know, whatever the fuck that thing's called.
No, I'm talking about blowing out the vents.
Oh yeah, I don't do that as much often as I should. I probably do it once a month. I should probably do it more often.
I think there are a lot of people out there though that don't do that.
Yeah, they don't do that a year. I didn't do it all, but I do it at least once a month. You know,
well, like, you really, the only thing you really need to dust off though is clean the air vents in the back where the fans.
Yeah,
are,
yeah.
You know, just
yeah. But I've worked at game stores, not GameStop, but GameCo, and yeah, the shit that people pull in, like some of the worst of it is smokers, like people who smoke.
Oh yeah, you smell that instantly.
Oh, dude, and like all the filters and all the vents, they're all fucking clogged. And the other thing is, like, the longer you let that dust sit, the more humidity it gathers, and the more it kind of just dries and crusts on there and turns from like a powder to like this fucking like hard substance.
Also, one thing that's also, you know, not so good for consoles, if you actually cook a lot of greasy foods in your house, because a lot of that stuff kind of collects all over the place.
Yeah.
So those of you who, I mean, if you know, like those of you who do have, you know, food that is a little bit more greasy, you notice that a lot of times, like higher parts of shelves have a little bit of a film on it.
Oh yeah, that's my kitchen. Yeah. You know, it's very interesting, but that is true. All right, moving on here. Okay, the next bunch of questions are actually PC related, which is interesting.
My PC.
So, G Michael Fortress's last question is, Manny, is something we were talking about earlier too. He goes, is plug and play one of the reasons consoles continue to be relevant? Gamers often ask themselves what keeps home consoles from being obsolete, and one of the reasons is plug and play. Plug and play is no longer a feature of consoles, and they are just like PCs. Would they continue to be relevant in the gaming market?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, no, I agree. They wouldn't be. You know, would be the point. The whole point, you buy a console, even though consoles are becoming less plug and play, now you got to like pop your game in, update the fucking game, install the shit, then you could play it, you know?
But it's still pretty idiot proof.
Yeah, for the most part.
Exactly.
I'm saying it's becoming less like it, because before, literally, you pop the game in and you play, but now you have to do a bunch of shit, but it's still easier than PC gaming.
It's still easier than a PC game, and that's. Yeah. And that's the thing that we were talking about before. It's like, you know, I think a lot of these guys who are out there, you know, yammering on about how, you know, consoles are not relevant and all this other stuff. They're the people that are not thinking about general audiences. They're thinking about themselves and the people that are within their circle. It's like, okay, we're PC enthusiasts. We, you know, every single generation or two, we upgrade our video card or we change out of this thing. That's not possible for everybody out there, you know? Like, you can't be, you know, if consoles were like that, we'd be switching them out every fucking year or two.
Yeah,
some part of it. So I would say the one thing about that is the selling factor for it. And then the other thing is, okay, you come out with, I don't know, Assassin's Creed Japan, and Assassin's Creed Japan only runs on this this specific graphic with this specific specs and graphics card. Okay, so then that means that you need to invest in a whole new computer for that. For a console, you really don't need to. As long as it's within that generation, you can continue to play that game no matter what.
I think what will save consoles and always keep consoles relevant is the ecosystem. You know, people like to have all their friends there, have their trophies or their achievements, you know, and they're just comfortable. And it's easy.
There's a lot to be said about guaranteeing you'll be able to play a game. And for all we talk about broken games on consoles, like, there have been several PC games that I have bought which have been just unplayable. Yeah. They're like Civ 5. Like, it just one day patched itself, and from then on, you couldn't play multiplayer on it anymore. But that's just how it is. No fix, nothing. Game is just broken forever now. And you don't necessarily get that on consoles, so you have the guarantee when you buy that disc and you take it home to your PlayStation, you don't need to check the specs. You don't need to check, compatibility on anything. You know, you can just put that disc in your PlayStation if it says PlayStation, and a game will eventually play. It may need to download. It may need to patch. It may need to do whatever, but it'll be a playable, functional game that'll operate on a playable performance. Some PC games you play, like, even Ark at the fucking very beginning, like, that thing is a system drain. You will have a beastly PC and be barely cutting 15 frames a second. And to some people, that's not necessarily okay. At least with, you know, console gaming, you have this homogenized quality experience where, like, yeah, you can't tweak your settings, but you always know it's going to be at least this. You know, if a game on console starts dipping below 30 frames a second and chugging down, people take note of it and they criticize it. So you kind of have this, yeah, it's a low bar, but it's a consistent bar, and you have the you have the promise that this is going to work when I put it in.
Again, yeah, like the thing is that we're not everybody out there is tech savvy, and you know, not everybody's going to be willing to put the time into making sure that their system is running correctly, you know. So why can't there be an environment where PCs and consoles exist, which is the environment we live in?
Yeah,
I don't understand what this one way or the other bullshit comes with.
You know how it is, man. You're right about that.
It's like, they're holding this back. You know what? You know how many fucking games that are just specific to PC and they can only be run on PC? So come on.
Right. Well, hold on. Hard rocking guy is not liking anything we're saying here. What's going on?
Different than somebody getting a car.
Well, you don't like consoles.
Why'd you get a Honda? Why don't you get a Ferrari? Yeah.
He said it's okay for console but not for PC. That didn't make any sense. What happened?
What was okay for console and okay for PC, bro?
Okay. Yeah. Can I get some context from
you? I think he's responding to...
He's mostly responding to what you were saying, Brett. And then he also said no console games are released broken, too.
Oh, yeah. No, that... Okay. A console game that is released... quote unquote broken is at least 90% of the time playable. It may have weird graphical glitches. It may even freeze and hang up. But I'm talking about entire core features of the game being unable to be played or the game itself not being able to be played. I can't tell you how many times I bought a game and they're like, oh, well, this game really kind of has trouble with some AMD cards. So it was, you know, it's really only running well on Intel right now. So. Sorry. And so, okay, my option is then if I've met the window of time that, and I haven't been fucking around with the game so long, I can get a refund, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'll be able to play that game.
Well, I got one for you that's linked to all of that. DuckTales on Steam. So DuckTales on Steam, I picked it up. It was a while ago on sale, and I'm like, okay, so I'm playing it through, and I get to the last level, and it freezes up and crashes. So then I go into the community forum, and I'm like, yeah, this is a known issue. There's no fix. The dev team no longer exists. Nobody can finish this damn game.
Wow. Damn thing.
It's like, what do you mean? It's like if something's going on, even with the new cards, all the cards had been, even the card that was compatible with already had firmware updates, and it's, for some reason, it's not compatible. And we couldn't get our refund because of Steam's policy of like, 2 hours or whatever amount of time played. We already played through the whole game. But we couldn't beat it. And I was like, what do we do? Nothing. And that game is still in the store.
That's crazy, man.
I would never fly on a console. It would just pull the game.
And for that, I will say Abyss Odyssey. You beat the final boss, the game crashes. It happened to me 3 times. And that game
on console, Brian?
Yep. It's on PS3. Yeah. That's why it took me like so long to get like the 100%. Because
there was
a boss that you had to kill after the final boss. But then... randomly, if you beat the final boss, the game will just crash, no matter what you did. So I was like, cool, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, my little horror story was this game I'm looking at it now. It's called Assault Suit Lanos, right? This is on Steam. It's an old Sega Genesis game, right? That was released in Japan only. I can't play the fucking game. I go to the start screen, I hit start, and it won't register, even with my keyboard, nothing. I'm like, okay, so I ended up buying it on PS4, and I play there. You know, it just won't fucking work. But yeah, so yeah, at the end of the day, people like simple shit. So consoles will always have a place, you know?
Yeah, it's really all about simplicity. And that's how you sell things to people. How, when we talk about phones and all those sort of things, it's always usually the simplest solution that ends up being the one that sells. Yeah. When you start to complicate things and you start to make things all, you know, you have to do all this additional work. That's when, you know, you've become something for enthusiasts.
Yeah.
I'm surprised people
I always say this about VR, the minute that VR becomes, the way it'll sort of take is like, obviously it has to have things that will attract people, but also it has to be very easy to do.
Yeah, right now it's very cumbersome. You know, people like simple shit. Anyway, let's move on because we're going to kind of come back to this a little later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this next one is from Joel Torres. He goes, P- this is kind of related to the last question. He goes, people like Review Tech USA and other PC gamers have said that the PS4 has no reason to exist, even though it's a worldwide brand, but have no problem with Nintendo, a company that treats its player base like morons. What is your opinion on this? Keep up the great work, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I've seen that on my end. I'm like, okay, so you're saying don't get a PS4. We're like, oh my God, the Switch is the greatest thing ever. I'm like, well, what? How the fuck does that work? So, Chris, man, get in here first. What do you make of this silliness?
Well, it was a bit weird. I watched the video, and that was the first thing I thought. I'm like, he's saying that you don't need a console, and PCs are so easy to set up, and it's not like the old days with Windows 95 and RQs. So he's making this argument that, okay, PC gaming is now so easy from his perspective, by the way. So it's not easy if you're coming from no experience or just a console experience. It's much easier than it was, but it's still the barrier to entry is much higher than a console still, not astronomical. But to say that about, okay, you don't need a console, I'm like, so he was cheerleading the Switch for months.
Yeah.
You know? And now he's saying this. I don't even know where he stands anymore. I didn't understand that at all. It's like, oh, all this great stuff. You don't need it. Just get a
PC. To be fair, though, he said he didn't single out the PS4. He singled out consoles in general, but he's still praising the Switch.
Yep.
So maybe in his eye, he doesn't see the Switch as a console, but it is a console. But in general, I find that very odd. Like, how can you say you don't need consoles yet praise the Switch? Can I play Uncharted on Switch? Can I play Gears of War on Switch? I don't think so. You know,
come on. I'm just saying.
I can play multi-platform games on Switch.
you know where this that comment comes from? Preference. There is no logic behind preference. It's something you like.
Yeah. The problem is he didn't put it out there as
opinion. Which it obviously is an opinion, because why would there be that sort of inaccuracy between them? Shouldn't it be the same for both?
Yeah, if you don't need a PS4 or an Xbox, you don't need a Switch either.
Switch either.
Yeah.
By that logic. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
No, it depends why he says that you don't need a PS4. Like, if he says that you don't need a PS4 because it runs pretty much every single game out there, and so does a PC, then that's a valid reason, because it plays the same games.
Really? Whereas, you could play God of War on PC? That's news to me.
Again, totally. I'm saying, like...
Yeah. Well, you could if you use a PS now.
Like, the games that you have on PS4, like, what, like 95% of them can be run on a PC.
Oh, yeah, no, you're 100% right about that. But at the same time, with those 5% games that you can't play, that's the reason to own it. Now, if you were to say you don't need an Xbox, I can understand that.
Yeah, but then, compare that to, how many on Switch? Like, how many of the games on Switch are available on other platforms? And I think that's where he's
making his... Oh, you mean all those indie games that are on Switch?
I don't know. I don't know the Switch library. Brett, do you know the Switch library? Because I know the
Switch library. I'm telling you right now, 90% of those games are fucking indie games that are on other systems.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand his logic and reasoning. That's all.
Well, in the video, he mostly was talking about cost versus performance. Like, for the cost now of, I think he put together something he called the Gaben Station for like $400 or $500 with a GTX 1060 and he bought some old ass Dell and put more RAM in it and stuff. And he said he was able to play some stuff in 4K. So he was saying for the cost of a new console, you could build an effective PC that's even more powerful than PS4 Pro and can do what Xbox One X does for the price, right? And have this multifunctional thing. I mean, basically, he was saying, just get a Steam machine or just build yourself a Steam machine, right?
Again, that's pretty much what you're saying. He's saying that the need for the consoles, but then immediately cuts his argument short, because he had to go and build it. Again, Joe Blow is not going to go fucking build a fucking computer. Yeah, I'm gonna get this shit great and go down this and do this. No, they're not gonna fucking do that. They're gonna go to the store and say, yo, what games are on this shit? Call of Duty and I don't know, Gears of War. All right, I'm getting that.
Yeah. What? Yeah. The problem is like, see, he's argued from a PC enthusiast perspective, and he's like, he could go out. He went on eBay. He got an old Dell from some office that was closing down, and he took it and he gutted it and he put in new RAM and he put a new video card and he did all this stuff, and then he had a respectable gaming PC, right? For under, I think he hit 400 or 430 total spent. And so he's like, well, the consoles cost this, so you get more performance out of this if you go PC. But like, again, he could do that, right? Some of us in here can do that, you know?
I hate it when people do that shit too, though. They're like, oh yeah, man, I got this, you know, from a garage sale. I paid $25 for that, so that's tied into cost. Like, motherfucker, you're assuming everybody is going to be lucky enough to find this thing.
All the parents that are going out there just to buy something to make their kid happy. You know what I mean?
That's the point. It's like you expect everybody to hit up a flea market and get lucky just like you did.
Yo, little Jimmy, I'm not going to get you that PlayStation. I'm going to build you this beast-ass PC out of an old Dell that I had from 10 years ago.
Dude, that's the equivalent of like you ask your mom for a Transformer, so they get you a GoBot. You know, it's like what?
I want a PS. I want a Xbox One. Yo, don't worry about that. I'm gonna get you this.
No, you know what that's like? It's like, let's say you want something specific. Like, I want Nathan's hot dogs or something. No. Fuck that. I want McDonald's.
That's back cereal shit.
No. I'm like, yeah, you're right. It's like, I want McDonald's. And your mom's like, I'm going to make you a hamburger instead. It's like, Mom, you can't cook, though.
and also from his perspective, he could support that box, right? If he gets driver errors or Windows problems, he'll put antivirus on it. All the things you would need to do with a PC, right? He could do that. Other people wouldn't think to do that, even if they got that far, right?
Yeah, I mean, they would pay $200 for the fucking Geek Squad support, and that's it'll end the whole conversation.
Yeah.
No, and then the Geek Squad will tell you, you know what, you need to buy a new PC,
yeah,
and get it under the warranty at Best Buy.
By the way, Manny, your Joe Blow thing seems to be popular in the chat. Everybody's using it.
That's right, Joe Blow, regular Joe Blow. Guy in the street.
Yeah. By the way, who is it? Transcend Gaming, Transcending Polygon. Joe Blow will have associates in computer science in the future. No, he won't. Joe Blow's going to be stupider in the future, bro. I guarantee you that.
It's like Manny, Idiocracy, man.
Yeah, you ever seen that movie, Idiocracy?
Manny, I've never seen Idiocracy, but I don't need to because I live it every day.
Well,
have you noticed that? Like, real life has become Idiocracy now.
Here's his point. He's saying that they're teaching coding to kids at a very young age. My counterpoint would be,
in America,
they also teach them to write, and that doesn't mean that they can write anything worth reading.
Exactly. That's a good
point. I also have to say that back in the day, we also did get taught simple coding on original computers. I don't remember any of that shit.
Dude, we all got the same basic shit, like American history or whatever. Ask somebody some shit right now. They won't know what the fuck you're talking about. People are stupid. You have to assume that. You know?
You have the thing is that you're never going to know that a person's interest. Just because you've given them the keys doesn't mean that they're going to go in and open the door.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's just the way it is. So you can't assume that every single person is going to have the same level of interest in these sorts of things. Most people just look at their phone and say, does it work? Does it play games? Can I call somebody or text somebody? That's it. And that's the way it goes with any console or any sort of a consumer electronic. You got to think of as consumer electronics, which is what consoles are like the top tier. They're like floating at the top. They're the easiest to get into. They're the easiest to understand.
Yep. All right.
Once you start going deeper, you go a little bit deeper down to into the ocean. That's where PC gaming is, and where you can do everything you want to do. You get more options and control.
Do you need one of those things from the abyss so you could breathe down there, Manny?
Yeah, like the rebreather.
Yeah, the breathable water. Okay, let's move on. Again, I'm sensing a theme tonight. Okay, he's Hashling and Slasher. His first question is: with the latest PS4 firmware update causing more issues for gamers and this sort of thing becoming a trend, can you still say that consoles are more reliable than a PC? All right, before we answer that part, I've been playing PS4 since the update came. I don't have any problems.
I didn't have any issues either. Nobody on my list.
I haven't heard this. The first time I'm hearing about this.
I heard about it, but I think it was.
Here's the thing: every time there's a firmware update, you always hear something. Oh, it broke my console. It broke my console.
People don't understand. It's just like for phones, anything. We don't know the situation. Their internet could have just went out. A solar flare could have happened in the area once that shit happened, and then it crashed. They always say, "Don't turn off your console when this is happening." Fucking somebody could have plugged in a blow dryer and blown out the circuit in the house.
Yeah, but again, this is not a widespread thing. Again, I've been playing it. Everything's fine. Every time there's a firmware update, I've never had an issue. So I know some people do, like Adam said, there's always circumstances and stuff, but generally this one isn't. But he does bring up a good point, though, about, you know, about how consoles are becoming a little bit more troublesome like PC. But at the same time, as we said before, even with those troubles, it's still way fucking easier to get into console gaming than PC gaming. You know,
you know what also can brick? Blu-ray players.
That's true.
TVs. Everything can do that. Everything. That's the thing about
the washing machine.
Your washing machine. You know you can.
Yeah, that thing needs firmware updates.
Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, Joe Blow Dryer. I like that one.
Joe Blow Dryer.
I don't think we need to say anything more. We kind of already covered it. You know.
Here's the thing. Obviously, once technology gets more and more complicated, they're going to need new updates because there are people out there that, you know, especially when it comes to PCs and phones and stuff, they're going to be people that are going to want to start hacking into these things. You know, with the consoles, it's like they want to try to keep improving certain, you know, and fixing problems that are with it that kind of arise. So there's going to be these things that happen. So, it sucks that we have to go through that process. You know, it seems like every single time that I turn on my fucking PlayStation 4, it's got to do like 10 updates on every single game that I have in there. But that's the way it is kind of right now. It's still baby's first PC now. You know what I mean? I guess.
Kind of, right. And his last question is, and the last question about PC gaming here, kind of related to what we were talking about before. What do you think it would take? Manny, I'm going to you with this one first, all right? What do you think it would take to have your average Joe Casual or Joe Blow gamer switch from consoles to PC?
It's the easiest way is just exactly what it has to be somewhere like
Steam box.
It would have to be something like a Steam box where it's just that there's a specific OS that you have to kind of deal with, and there's nothing, it's just there's nothing in between you and the actual thing. There also has to be a line of PCs that is totally locked. So in other words, it has to be like, okay, this is what you know, with keyboards, this is whatever. It's essentially, it's the weird, the thing about it is it kind of has to be a semi-console experience, very simplified system. And I think that would work a lot, you know, which is pretty much what Steam was trying to do, what Valve was trying to do with the Steam box. But the problem with
selling that, or are people selling?
I don't know, but the problem with the Steam box is pretty much there was too many levels of it.
I don't think that's going to be what's going to make you turn into that, because all you're mentioning is stuff that'll make a PC more like a console, and in that case, just keep the console. So
yeah, exactly. See, the thing is that the thing about it is that it has to be. In order for people to kind of go toward that direction, it has to be simplified. But then at that point, it stops becoming a PC and becomes a console.
Right. I think the thing that would make someone like Manny buy a PC is something that an experience that he can't have anywhere else that is attractive to him. And to me, if you were to ask me what would make people go to PCs.
Casual gamers specifically.
Casual gamers. At least something that I've been seeing in like with my nephews and stuff, they are really influenced by YouTube creators and what they do. And when they see them gaming on the PC and modding and stuff, they get really into that. And even so, where my nephew asked me, he has an Xbox One, he asked me to buy him a PC for his birthday. And I'm like, why the hell do you want a PC? And it's like, oh, because this guy on YouTube plays on the PC. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like the power that these people have over like little kids' minds is ridiculous.
Carlos, would you say they have a lot of
influence?
Brian, get in here, man.
Yeah.
I'd say that it's relatively simple. What you do is that you take the idea of a PC and then you apply the idea of Lego blocks. So you basically, you make it to the point where it's just, you take stuff out, you put stuff in, module. And that's how the PC works. So like, literally just make it as modular as it can be. And I think that's the only way that you can get, so
but it like,
Hold on, I got a quick question for you. Okay, but how do you, is that how you would sell it to the casual gamers? Like, hey, you want to build your own console or system? Is that how you would sell it?
Well, it's the only way that it can, because that way you can still have the ideas of a PC and still be accessible to Joe Blow.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, but my point is like, okay, you're trying to convince Joe Blow to go to PC. How do you do that exactly? What would be your sales pitch, basically?
I don't know. I'm not a salesman. I hate sales with a passion.
Okay, how do you convince just a regular dude of something? Like, how do you convince somebody to try something out? How do you just do it natural, whatever comes naturally?
I don't know. Put it at conventions or show floors or GameStops or something. I don't know. Get it out in the public.
I mean, I think what Brian's saying is that you have to have a middle ground to entice either side. If you wanted to get PC gamers to play on console, you'd have to do a middle ground. If you wanted console gamers to play on PC, you'd have to do middle ground. And I have to agree with him. Like a self-enclosed modular plug-and-play type PC where like you just pull out a block that says 20 and plug in a block that says 40 and you've got more computational power. You pull out the copper one and plug in the gold one. It would have to be as simple as that. And so it would have to have some middleware and pretty much automatically update the drivers. It would pretty much have to be go back to straight plug and play. You know, as simple as the 32X was. You jam it in the top of your Sega, then you jam a game into it. End.
Again, the process has to be very simplified. And I would say, like, it would have to be one company that would do it, and then you just buy the accessories from that company. Well, but then that would also be a problem, because like then now it's like, okay, you know, you have the new, you know, GTX a graphics card out there, right? If you want to stick that into the Lego blocks console, PC, you really can't do that. It has to be formatted in that way so that you can stick it in there.
Yeah, I mean, you would need a company like Valve to essentially be curators for the hardware, where it would get their little Valve seal of approval when they've come up with something that's form-fitting and works with, you know, all standardized parts. Otherwise, it would have to, you know, if it's not coming from one company, it would have to be oversight by one company. And I think the reason we never really saw the launch of Steambox is because Valve doesn't want to do that. They want to tell people like, oh yeah, just build PCs and we'll build an interface that works on a big screen and go from there. And it's no Valve. You would actually need to make your own Steam boxes for Steam boxes to be a thing. You can't load off that weight to everybody else. But the idea was solid if Valve would have been the one to carry it, but it just kind of being tossed to the wild, I don't think it worked.
I completely disagree with you guys. Like, you guys are going at it in a way where you just want it to cater to you. So for you guys, you want it to be more simple, more reliable, something that
is... No, that's what people want. Listen, general audiences are not going to go around and start trying to pick and choose fucking parts, man.
Well, here's my argument. Well, with the new generations, things that are complex to us seem less complex to them.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about now, today. How do you get a casual guy today to become a PC gamer?
I don't know. You don't. They're not.
Exactly.
There you go, then.
Exactly. And therein lies the problem. The thing is that regardless the port, it might offend fucking PC guys.
Just keep it real.
You got to understand that line is just not for everybody. Some people just don't want to deal with all that bullshit. That's why shit like Alienware exists. Because people don't want to deal with that shit and put together on their own PC. They just want to go out there and get the box and get it to work. And that's why consoles are going to continue to do as well as they do, because there's just so much that's on top of that. Unless you somehow manage to make the PC, essentially, you're going to essentially turn a PC into a console. And that's probably the way you're going to get people to play PC games.
Yeah. actually, Carlos, explain your position because I don't understand where you're coming from. Again, like, people like simple shit. People are very stupid. You got to understand that. You know, okay, go ahead. Explain yourself because I'm very lost here.
Give a caveman a touchscreen phone and they won't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that same concept. Like, you guys, for us, it like building a PC, assembling it, installing the drivers, installing the OS and all that stuff seems really complicated to us. But what I'm saying is in newer generations, when like the masses overcome us, it's going to be so much easier for them because it's something that's going to be natural. Like we grew up in a generation where there wasn't a PC in the household. Do you guys remember that? I didn't have a PC.
Okay. Until I think it still doesn't. All right. Here's another example.
Okay. Actually, no, just hold on for a second. Okay. Carlos, I see what you're saying in the future, but we're specifically talking about now.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why when you mentioned that, I'm like, yeah, then no. It's
well,
just,
hold on. Adam, go ahead, man.
A few years back, Newegg was selling Gateway laptops. Remember Gateway? They were a thing.
Yeah.
It was like $1,300. Then all of a sudden, my buddy was like, yo, go on that site. They're selling it for $300. The hell? What is $1,300? So I went on the site. It dropped to $300. Why? Because they found out that model that shipped out did not have the drivers for the wireless card. You know, so it had no drivers in it. So you had to get the drivers somewhere else. Just because of the lack of drivers, they felt the need to drop it to $300. They took $1,000 off that shit.
Damn. You know?
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, and they're just seeing it as wow, people are not going to want this. People are not going to figure that shit out that, oh, by the way, we're going to give you a little disclaimer. There's no drivers in it, but we'll take a few hundred off. No, they realized that wasn't going to be a thing. They just had to unload the whole stock as if the shit and just take the loss. And that was just for drivers.
I have a Lenovo PC that's actually a laptop PC, which is stronger than my current PC. It's got like a i7 inside of it, and it's got its own graphics card. The one thing that Lenovo, there's a design flaw with this specific Lenovo. Because it has a graphics card and it has a more powerful CPU. It has a more powerful CPU. It has an issue where it doesn't run properly. It runs all spotty when it's connected to the power outlet. The reason why is because, and I figured this out later, is because the power brick that's for it, it doesn't provide enough power to run the PC. So it runs fine when it's in battery world, you know, when it's running in the battery, but it doesn't run right when it's running directly from the outlet. You have to get another power brick for it, a more powerful power brick to provide the thing with more power. Now, the thing is, Lenovo doesn't tell you this on their fucking website. When you go and buy this shit off of their fucking site, they don't tell you this shit.
Yeah, and one thing that...
You got to figure it out by trial and error. So now you're going to tell Joe Blow to somehow figure this shit out? They're not going to figure that shit out.
Yeah, and one thing that like you might not even notice is like when you connect your laptop to the power, the power settings might change. So it might be like balanced when it's just running off battery and high performance when it's plugged in, but people don't know that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my only thing with it. And I don't understand why people have to pull each other to sides. You don't need to exactly pull each other to sides. People can be just as happy playing their PCs. People can just be as happy playing their consoles. We don't need to be like, oh, yo, man, you got to be on my side. You know, this is better than that. It's like, well, you know, I like to have this sort of experience. So why do we have to kind of, you know, set the lines?
Here's the part I don't understand.
Go ahead, man. And then we'll move on after that.
Everybody's implying that just because you know about coding or you're smart with computers or interface or drivers, that you aren't going to have things go wrong and aren't going to have to spend a frustrating amount of time trying to figure out what went wrong and how to fix it. Rachel was incredibly proficient with computers. She wrote code. She wrote macros for systems to help with efficiency for companies. Like, that's one of the things that she did. And I can tell you from personal experience, there were multiple times when she had to dig through a computer for 2-3 hours to figure out where a driver went off, why something wasn't connected to the internet, dig through the router settings. Like, just because you know what you're doing doesn't mean that you don't have to spend time doing it. It doesn't make you a psychic that you can just fucking touch a computer and be like, you have a capacitor out in one of your RAMs.
If that was the case, all the games that get shipped wouldn't have any glitches. You know, because these guys know what they're doing. They still fuck up. It still happens.
All right, let's move on here. By the way, there's some interesting stuff in the comments. Some of the guys don't like that we are assuming people are stupid. People are fucking dumb. Come on now.
People like being stupid. Fucking, you know? Transformers movies still make fucking money. People are fucking stupid.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to say this, and I may get in trouble for saying this, but whatever. Think about it like this. Most people on Earth are religious. They choose to be ignorant. I'm just throwing that out there. So with that, let's move on. We're getting a bunch of Castlevania questions for the next few rounds here.
Wait.
You like Castlevania, don't you?
Perfect. All right, man. This first one is from T. Cerise the Great. He goes, what's up, Tony and gang? What do y'all think of Netflix's Castlevania anime thus far? First of all, it's not an anime. It's not produced in Japan. By the way, and I realize this now, we probably could have done a spoiler alert on this shit. So consider this a mini spoiler alert for Castlevania. You've all seen the show already. I don't want to hear, oh, don't spoil it. It's been out. It's been out already.
Four episodes, guys.
Four episodes. Yeah, if you haven't seen this, your own fault. I fucking loved it. I thought it was great. I was very worried about it, obviously, because, you know, video game adaptations, Western ones are typically kind of shitty. This one was fantastic. I loved it. My only legitimate complaint is it was too short. That's my only complaint.
My other complaint is that I did want to hear a little bit of the classic music.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit of Bloody Tears. But yeah, amazing job that these guys did. It's a place in Austin, Texas that does it.
I know Frederator Studios. They're involved with this.
Frederator has the rights to, you know, yeah, to produce the show.
The studio that actually animated it. The studio that animated it is
a place out in Texas. One of the things that they've actually they did all the cinematics in Banner Saga. They also did all the cinematics for the new Battle Chasers game. So they got some pretty serious animation talent over there. That's all those guys. And the other thing about that show is that it's also got all the animation is done here in the States, the key animation, and all the in-betweens and finishes are all done out in Korea. So they still ship it out, but it's still done all over here, the main stuff.
Yeah, the writing was really good. It's Warren Ellis. You know, if you guys know Warren Ellis, his style comes through.
You know, that script is actually the
very old
Castlevania movie. That's the old Castlevania movie that they were going to make years ago.
Yeah, like I sent you guys this link in that chat room of ours. Like, basically, a lot of the shit that's in this was going to be in the movie, you know? And he even broke it down. Like, oh, yeah, we don't want to have Grant in there. So he's like, why would a pirate be in a landlocked country? That makes no sense. Get rid of Grant, you know? but he did say if he brings him back, he's going to use, like, an alternate name, you know, last name, because the Nasty, or whatever the fuck it was called. The Nasty. He's like, Denise, he's going to call him. But yeah, Chris, you're the Castlevania guy here. Kiss is based off Castlevania 3. What did you think of it, man?
Oh, I thought it was great. I mean, for four episodes, there was great character development. They set up the world, like you understood what was happening. You get backstory on Dracula that has not been touched really in the games, only mentioned.
It's lightly touched upon in Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, very lightly. Like, you get to see that shit. It has impact now. It has meaning. And I like that Trevor isn't just this stalwart, you know, righteous man. He's kind of an asshole, and he's a drunk, and, you know, he just happens to be damn skilled at killing monsters, you know. You know, but he's not a good person. I like that. I mean, the fight scenes were great.
They're violent. They're so violent.
So brutal, dude. The mugging scene. I don't want to spoil anything. You know. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I know what you're
talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Yo, and he pulls that whip out, man.
Nope. He's like, let me whip out your eye.
Yeah. Damn, your fingers. Like, holy shit.
He's like, I was aiming for your hand.
Yeah, he was drunk, probably. You know?
Well, he's like, I'm out of practice or something like that.
Yeah. And then, you know, the highlight was the fucking ending, him and Alucard fighting. Ooh, man. You know?
Damn, yo, they went at it. He wasn't taking any shit, man. Talk about Trevor. He was he's like, shut up, vampire. I don't give a fuck.
That was awesome, man. Yeah, again, the only legit complaint, I'm like, fuck, I want more, man. It was so good.
I mean, I definitely think that this show was a test to see if people had any sort of interest in it. So obviously, once they put out those four episodes, they were like, there's going to be a new season, by the way, next year.
Yeah. I was confused by that because they already said there was going to be another season next year. But the only thing, the difference is now it's an extended season now. Here's the funny thing, right? With video games, when a video game does well, it takes them a long time to say, oh, yeah, we're going to come out with a sequel. As soon as anything in a TV show or a movie does well, the next day, yeah, we're making another one. They instantly say it.
Dude, you got to understand, but like with, you know, I said this, I think I wrote this before on my Twitter. I'm like, you realize that it's a shitload cheaper to make a fucking Castlevania TV series than it is to make an actual Castlevania fucking
TV. Isn't that funny? No, but my point is, like, I always find that funny how, like, you know, video games are so hesitant to say when the sequel's coming, even though you know the sequel's coming. Like, I'm dead ass right now. Go to fucking Activision, right? Hey, are you coming out with another Call of Duty? Like, okay, not now, obviously. Ask them in January. Are you coming out with a new Call of Duty 2018? We haven't discussed those plans yet. I'm like, but you've come out with a Call of Duty for the last 10 years, every single year. We're not discussing those plans right now. Even with Mass Effect, remember? They built it as a trilogy. When After 2 came out, they asked them, hey, what's going on with Mass Effect 3? We're not talking about that at the moment. We don't even know if we're going to be making that. It's like, you just said it's a trilogy, you know? But with movies, it's like, yeah, we're coming out with one right now, you know?
Well, the thing is that one of the things is that you're kind of in a very kind of special place because – when the minute that you start to say and talk about sequels, I feel like also you kind of can also affect the sales of your current product. So what they tend to do is they kind of keep everything close to the chest and unload it at certain points.
Yeah, even when they already know, when you already know what's coming.
Yeah.
Is it like with sport? Oh yeah, when you're coming out in the FIFA game, we're not talking about that right now. It's like, you know, you're coming out with another FIFA. Stop it.
Well, they always say it. I don't think I've ever heard where they said, oh, well, we're not sure about next year. They're always going to do
it. Yeah, at least with FIFA, at least, I guess. But you know what? They hold it very close to the chest. I don't know why. But yeah, Castlevania, anybody else want to – who else saw this shit? Well, I know it wasn't just us. Carlos, Brett.
Nope.
You guys need to see this shit. Brian, no interest?
What the fuck is you talking with me about? Watch Hunter Hunter, Watch Hunter Hunter, Watch Hunter Hunter, Start Watching Hunter. Why have you watched Castlevania? Fuck you guys.
Come on, Brett. Even I got to see fucking Castlevania. Jeez.
I've been watching Hunter Hunter.
Watch it faster.
Four episodes.
Take a night break and watch Castlevania. It's only four episodes. Literally four 22-minute episodes. You know?
So it's 420.
Four episodes.
Yeah, 422, you know?
I watched the first two episodes. I still haven't watched the last two. All I'll say is the first episode was good. I expected more, like, motivation. Like, obviously, like, we all saw the main motivation of why Dracula doing what he's doing. But he's like, oh, I'll give you a year. I'm like, what? He could have fucked them up right now, like, right away. Like,
hey, he's being merciful, you know, and those motherfuckers didn't listen to him, you know?
Remember, his wife also kind of told him that she had a love for humanity, and she was trying to be a healer, so obviously that was him giving his last bit of respect to his wife.
Yep.
Does he really need to say, like, yes, I will give my wife one last respect, and I will give you a year, and then you will die.
No, I mean, he's still going to kill him anyways, so...
It's like, well, not really. If they would have left, he wouldn't have gone after him. He gave him a year, they didn't listen, he fucked them up.
But these guys are going to... he's going to kill all of humanity. He's not... He's like, oh, I'll give you a year to think about what you did. It's like, what?
No, he's going to kill him anyways. No, you didn't know that. He was giving him a year to leave that specific spot, leave Wallachia. They didn't leave, so he fucking killed him. It was as simple as that.
He's
going to
kill everyone.
You don't know that.
His intention is to kill everyone.
No, it isn't. Why was he chilling in that castle for all those hundreds of years without killing anybody?
He wasn't going to kill anyone. After she died, he said he was going to kill everyone.
Yeah. But he specifically said, I'm giving you a year.
But he's going to kill him anyways.
How do you know that?
Because he said so.
No, he didn't. He said, I'll give you a year, leave, and I won't kill anybody.
No, he said,
you know, it's getting really hard to tune out and not pay attention to this and have it be spoiled.
All right, so we'll stop it right now.
Now let's stop. The first episode was good. The second one was like kind of meh, but
yeah. All right, let's move on, man. Mr. Aldi Digital. So he goes, since the release of the Castlevania series on Netflix, would you guys like to see a new video game from the franchise? If so, would you want it to be a 3D game or a return to 2D?
I like that he specifies. Oh, wait. Nope. Never mind. I'm jumping ahead. I'm jumping ahead.
You heard something in there.
I am going to say a very controversial type of answer here, because I still felt Lords of Shadow could have been a good game if they didn't fuck it up, right? So I would actually want them to do a 3D game, but make it Metroidvania, where you got to go back and search for shit. I don't want a 2D game because we're already getting Bloodstained, you know? So we're good on that end. So yeah, I would want a 3D game, but make it still Metroidvania-ish, where you got to explore and everything. Maybe even a remake of Castlevania 3, you know? Hey, why not? But yeah, I want a 3D game. Like, I know, like, a 2D game would be nice, but we're getting Bloodstained already, so let's have a 3D Castlevania game, you know?
I would like a 3D Castlevania game.
Yeah, I think they could pull it off. Like, there's been enough games that have been done in that style that made that work, you know? Yeah.
Make a 3D game, make a 3D Castlevania game that makes you feel what you felt when you played that first Castlevania, this big epic adventure fighting all these crazy fucking monsters, you know?
Yeah.
They could do it, you know? They almost did it with Lords of Shadow until they fucked that up, you know?
Oh, and then Lords of Shadow 2, come on! Fucking Trevor is Alucard? Ugh!
Yeah, that alternate
smack somebody upside the head
is bad.
Fucking dumb. Yeah, you gotta make it respectful, you know? Right, anybody else have any answer for this?
Yeah, watch Castlevania.
Yeah, Castlevania.
You watched Castlevania.
I'd want a 3D game.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
Actually, you know what? Let's jump right to the next question since this is related. From Black Metal Gamer. He goes, if Castlevania gets a new game, who would you want to see it being developed for besides From Software?
That's what I was going to mention. He's heard us enough. He's like, yeah, I know what everybody's going to say besides them.
Yeah, he knows. He knows, you know.
I read the first half of this question. I was like, I know. And then I got to the back. I was like, oh, never mind.
I think I know where you're going with this. Maybe I'm wrong, though. Platinum Games. They would definitely get their combat down, you know?
I could say Platinum Games. I would say... who else is out there? I mean, you know, the thing is that one of the things about the Platinum Games version is it would be very, you know, combo-esque. It would be very much similar to the Lords of Shadow. And I feel like... we could stand to go a little bit more platformy and stuff with that.
Yeah, sort of, for sure.
Game, you know?
Yeah, I would like more platforming.
You know, like a little
better
bit more
platforming, because Lords of Shadow tried platforming and that was.
Oh my god. Again, fucking lousy. I feel like the combos in that game were pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But man, like, you ask fucking Gabriel to hang onto a ledge.
Yeah. Anyway,
definitely not Mercury Steam. Oh,
didn't Team Ninja do a Castlevania game?
No, but they should. You know, Team Ninja would do a fantastic one. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Ninja Theory. I'm thinking about Ninja Theory.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Ooh, Ninja Theory would make a badass Castlevania game.
Ninja Theory would do a good job.
Holy shit!
If it was like somewhere in between, if it was a little bit more explorative than Enslaved. And had maybe a little bit better combat, I think he could do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you have like the combat of DMC, a little bit more exploration, yeah, that would be good. Yeah, Team Ninja, they do the Dead or Alive, don't they? I don't know about them.
they did Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that could work too, I guess. Yeah.
It'll be hard as balls, okay
with that. I would be okay with that. Actually, if you think about it, like those Ninja Gaiden games have those big demon monsters and shit. Yeah, I could see that. All right, anybody else? Chris, I'm looking at you now, man.
Oh, wait. I'm a little lost.
Yo, man, what you doing, man? Okay, so what studio would you want to see do a Castlevania game that's not From Software?
Ah, shit. Because they're so good. Like, we've said this multiple times. So okay, so let's rule out who we don't want to do it.
Okay.
Steam.
Yeah, don't know.
Shots were developed.
343.
No, Capcom.
No, not Capcom. I'd say Sony Santa Monica because of God of War. They could do.
Yeah, that would be. Ooh.
Okay.
That would be insane.
Yeah, because they know how to handle it. Visceral Games because of Dante's Inferno. They know how to handle that type of gameplay too in 3D.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So those would be my two options: Sony Santa Monica and Visceral. And
yeah, Chris, I guess you were a little bit out. The other ones we brought up were Platinum Games, Ninja Theory, and Team Ninja.
You know? Okay, Team Ninja, I'd say no because Metroid Other M was a disaster.
That is true, but Ninja Gaiden was not a disaster.
No, Ninja Gaiden was good, but I don't think they can handle anything outside of Ninja Gaiden.
That's fair.
Neo was good.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Yeah, Neo was good. Yeah.
But if you're gonna have them imitate Dark Souls, then just have From Software make the game. Then, you know? At that point, I'd say Ninja Theory is a great choice because it would be very artistic. They're good with story and storytelling and
conveyance. Oh my god, that would be insane.
Yeah, and Platinum, it could be hit or miss. Like I'd say with Ninja Theory, they definitely hit. Every time.
I think I want Ninja Theory to do a Castlevania game more than I want From Software to do it now.
Yeah, just because of storytelling.
Yeah, because of the storytelling, exactly. Oh my god, that would be insane. I also want Hellblade, by the way. Just throw it out.
Hellblade is coming soon, man. It's this year.
Yeah, this year is a few weeks.
Yep, that's really good.
All right, man. And the last question here from Mr. Black Metal Gamer. This is a fun one, too. For all you physical game collectors, what console do you think had the coolest game cases and or cover art? And what games come to mind? I'll save myself for a little bit later. I already got my answer right.
What generation?
No. What system had the best boxes or box art?
All right, I'll start. Genesis.
Motherfucker took my shit.
Easily.
Because it was in a case.
It was a plastic case. Super Nintendo was in a cardboard box, right? Yeah. So it was
the cardboard box with that little slip that went on the bottom.
And NES games also came in a cardboard box and it has a sleeve, right?
But so did N64 ones.
Right, yeah. So out of them, Genesis had the best cases, man.
Yeah, Genesis had some. They had big dookie size cases too. There was some.
Yeah, right.
Dude, yeah, they put spine art on that shit.
Yeah dude.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Plus, there was something really cool about like hand rendered art was actually still big back then. So you could see like there'd be like an actual painting on the front of the game case as opposed to just the back of a protagonist.
Yeah.
Old art was great, especially Atari, man. They got creative because they're like, man, you're looking at dots. They like would call someone like Manny, yo, paint a knight slaying a dragon, because this doesn't look anything like this.
Yeah, the second part, actually, go ahead, Carlos, which ones do you think had the best game cases?
I think today's, like Xbox One and PS4, because I think those are more slimmer than the Sega ones. The Sega ones will just take too much space in your case.
They were cartridge shelf though.
But they're all the same. They all look like they've kind of just turned into like this, the Uncharted box art pretty much with different. No,
okay, it's two things, Brett. He's talking about game. We're talking about cases right now. Cases.
Yeah, just the cases, not the art on the cases. No,
we're gonna get to the art next. We're gonna get to that. Oh, okay. Next. The cases, Carlos. I see where you're coming from. If you,
you got to give it to PS4 because it has the
tablet. The Genesis one.
You press the button and it ejects the game for you. You don't have to snap it out on your own.
Oh yeah, the middle and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Carlos, so you see what I'm saying though? Like the modern cases are kind of an evolved version of the Sega Genesis one. You know.
Yeah, to some extent, yeah. They're exactly what they should have. Well, they kind of should have been.
Yeah,
the art is a different question, though.
Yeah, the art. Yeah, we'll get to the art in a bit. I do want to say this, I love this system. The Sega Saturn cases were fucking annoying. They're so huge, They're like,
weren't they big jewel cases?
Yeah, like what they were. Why?
Yeah, so was Sega CD,
and they would crack instantly.
Yeah, yeah. Sega CD was like that as well. Like, why? Sega
it cracked. Yeah, they were and I took care of my shit, and
so yeah,
they were horrible. Sometimes they would show up broken. You would open it up. And this shit's cracked.
But remember early PS1. Early PS1 cases were boxes. Great before they switched to jewel cases, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Can I make a vote for worst cases?
Oh, yes, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Game Boy. because you literally fucking had to buy them.
Yeah, that's true. Game Boy didn't come with anything.
That's right.
Box. They used to come with them. I mean, the first ones used to come with them, but later
all the ones I bought had them, you know?
No, but later on, they stopped
playing. They didn't come with anything.
You got to remember, I stopped playing Game Boy like 1994. So up until then, they still had them. They still had their, you know, whatchamacallit.
The little manuals. Those clear plastic cases, yeah.
Yeah. They still had them, you know? But yeah, okay. So let's move on to the art. Basically, any art before the year 2000 was good. You know, because again, back in those days, like specifically the Atari, Nintendo, Super Nintendo days, like they had to sell you on those games. So they put this nice art on there, you know? So anything from those three eras was really, really good. And then, and then when the 3D era came, now they started putting game shit on the cover.
They kind of put like weak, a lot of times they put like really weak game art on the cover. Yes, I mean, obviously, they wanted to sell it. They wanted to sell it. Okay, this is the way the game looks. But I mean, for a lot of that shit, it was just horrible.
It's all the same thing. Like, you know, think about, you know, your Super Nintendo version of Zelda. Think about the old Mega Man. Think about Sonic. Think about X-Men. Think about Castlevania. They all didn't just have a lone protagonist in the middle of the screen with a backdrop that was the world that you were going through. They all had different things. Some of them, you know, characters running the screen, like freaking, kickboxing games or something like that would have, like, you know, an acrylic painting of somebody like kicking somebody else in the face. Like, it was always something different. And yeah, you do have those standard games. Like, Altered Beast was the first time that's like, hey, a lone masculine figure following the rule of thirds and sharing it with the title of the game across the box art. Yeah, that's become the standard default for pretty much everything these days, but it used to be lots of other stuff. I mean, especially Nintendo, you know, sometimes it was just a cool logo like Mortal Kombat. Sometimes it was, you know, fucking like the Punch-Out, which was, you know, stupid.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah. So there at least used to be a lot more difference in the box art. And yeah. I think that was because you kind of had to use your imagination and they really wanted to kind of show you more. But now it's just, everything's just, it looks more realistic, but it's all hyper rendered and just boring. It's the same fucking case.
It's funny because you mentioned that Manny and I, we talked about this a lot. Basically, the reason for that is because these market idiots decided that, hey, this is what people want, so this is what we're going to put on every cover. It's fucking dumb.
It's also
like the Call of Duties.
It's guy on the middle, you know?
Yeah, it's usually they try to make. I mean, it could also be the fact that they think that maybe they also think that people are stupid too.
It's like, which, you know, they kind of are.
It's like, obviously, so I think.
Because according to the, you know, quote unquote, their research, they found that this is what sells better in America. In Europe, it's totally different scene.
Yeah, European covers, a lot of European covers tend to be a lot nicer. Same thing with the Japanese covers.
Yeah, especially the Japanese
covers. Like, there's like a really nice Uncharted. They released Uncharted in Japan, and they did a really beautiful, like, painted cover for it. You know, nowadays all the special editions have the illustrated covers. Like if you buy the special edition of it. I do have to give it to Resistance though. That one Resistance cover, that was a cool one. The orange cover that they did.
Dude, that was
a nice one.
Yeah. I'm looking at a gallery right now. Killzone and Fallout pretty much share a cover. Mm-hmm. Batman, Gears of War, Assassin's Creed, Infamous, BioShock, Tomb Raider, yep. Battlefield, Far Cry, Assassin's Creed again, Resistance.
It's all the same.
Deus Ex, Gears of War, Just Cause, Gears of War, Judgment, Doom, Red Dead Redemption, Stasis, Avatar, the fucking video game, Watch Dogs.
Have you seen that meme that happened? Okay, when Doom first came out, you know, last year's Doom. Basically, they took that cover and put different names of different games on different game logos, and it worked. It worked for every game. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. Call of Duty, Far Cry, Uncharted. It worked for every game. You know, that's how generic these fucking covers are now. They're so forgettable.
It's always like big face with bearded guy.
Yeah, that too. Even Metal Gear was that. It's just
the last two Metal Gear covers. I know, as much as I love the series, those fucking covers sucked. The Phantom Pain cover, okay, it's a side view. Good, that's cool.
Ground Zeroes still, too, you know.
Ground Zeroes. Those weren't not very good covers. And I'm like, you have an amazing illustrator in your fucking department. Why aren't these the covers? But they used to be the covers.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I have to give props to GTA though.
GTA does good covers. They do great covers. You know,
but they kind of stick in the same aesthetic cover. It's always those panels.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice though.
Yeah, they're nice, and they're not just throwing like, hey, here's some game art. You know, they actually put effort into it. You know,
the menus even had like you know, when you do the loading, you'd see like illustrations that they did for the game too.
Yeah, exactly.
What happened to those, man? I like those.
Max Payne had an illustrated cover, but then again, it was the same shit. It was like guy standing there in the middle or something.
Yeah, the limited edition cover is always a pretty good. In other regions, obviously, get better covers. Apparently, like I said, these guys just decided, hey, Americans only like seeing the big buff guy on the cover. There you go.
Or, Chris, you've ran into that stuff when you're working at Nintendo. Remember the alternate versions of Spirit Tracks?
Oh, yeah. It's all marketing that's dictating these decisions of what's shown and what's not. They'll even, between Europe and here, if there's like a little too much leg showing or something, they'll edit it for us. They'll like make the skirt longer or some stupid stuff like that.
It's crazy, man. All right. So let's start wrapping up a couple of things here. Adam, I guess the stream didn't go down last night, bro.
Well, we were trying to do something with Chris. But I guess it was too late.
I messaged you back. I didn't see the thing.
Yeah.
But I played a little bit of Mother Russia Bleeds. I don't see where.
No, what we would have to do is we would do a share play.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That a share play, and then from the share play, then we could do the live stream. That's okay. How we trick it.
And Chris, you have to set it up on your end so the audio comes through on the on the stream. You know.
Okay.
You just have to hit permission. It's something really simple. You know. But as far as that, again, we're still trying the streaming stuff. I'm going to be streaming Destiny 2.
This is what I was going to ask. Why don't we ask like the people, like what would they like to see streamed?
Well, right now we're doing a test. If this goes
well. Yeah, no, as a test, just to see. Like,
oh, you know what? Sure, go ahead. What do you guys want us to stream? Again, I'm going to be doing it once a week on Tuesdays, but I am going to be doing Destiny, you know? Give us suggestions. What do you guys want to see us streaming? It is mostly going to be me and Adam doing this shit. You know, but anybody else?
I might hop in there.
If you guys want to jump in, you know, go ahead, please.
I figure Mother Russia would be cool because a lot of people they still this day they're asking me like, what the hell are you talking about? I didn't know it didn't come out for Xbox. I didn't know that. I thought it was all the platforms. It wasn't until a buddy of mine, he was like,
we just got one right now, Stream Battlegrounds. That'll probably be big, to be honest.
Does anybody have Battlegrounds?
That's the other thing. We have to have the game too, you know?
Yeah.
Adam, don't you have Battlegrounds? You've been talking
about it. Yeah, on PC, yeah. But, I mean, then we need the other people. But, yeah.
Remember, you don't have to stream with other people. Yeah, okay, Battlegrounds, there's one.
You could also hook the, you know, a PC or an Xbox to it. You know, this is the future.
I just think it would be fun because then that way it's like, you know, there's a conversation as opposed to like what we just talked about where if you're streaming and especially in those type of games where you're not really talking to anyone. You know what I mean? Like Battlegrounds is a – you're all by yourself unless you have buddies that are jumping in. I was like, all right, let's.
Well, I mean, you're talking to the people in the room, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the other thing I want to say because the first stream I did, even though it still did belong with the numbers I wanted, it was fun because there were people in the room I was interacting with, right? The other subsequent streams were not as fun because there weren't as many people. It's almost like multiplayer in a way. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're good at multiplayer, you're going to have a good time. If you're not good at multiplayer, you're not going to have a good time. So it's kind of like that. It's like, well, there's a bunch of people in there to interact with. It's great. If there's not, you know, but I did promise you guys we're going to keep this going up until the end of the summer, which is probably going to be the end of September, you know. And, you know, if you guys like it, if the numbers are good, we're going to keep it going. And if not, we could at least say we gave it a nice college try, you know. Adam, you know, just get on whenever, man. Don't even sweat it, dude. Just get in there and interact with these dudes. And that'll be that. So let's wrap it up. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us the questions in the comment section of this episode here on YouTube or on The Coalition. We'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at The Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight is joined by Emilio Lopez.
What is a man? A miserable pile of secrets.
Chris Seeley.
Yeah, go watch Castlevania. It was good.
Carlos Romero.
Rest in peace, George Romero.
No, man. Yes, man.
Oh, he died?
Yeah,
bro.
What happened?
He died. He was old.
He died of lung cancer.
Yeah. Also, Martin Landau also passed
away. Martin Landau. Yes.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
What about that guy from The Walking Dead? Did he pass away? The guy who fell?
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
The stuntman. There was a stuntman while they were filming new season, and he fell 30 feet.
Oh, shit. I didn't even know about that.
He was Rush Hoffman, the whole production, but I wonder, I don't know if he passed.
Yeah, I think he did.
Damn. Oh, shit.
All right, and Mr. Brett Murdoch.
See you guys.
Adam Vale.
3 trophies away from the platinum of Ghost Recon. Nice. 3 away.
And Brian Mongeau.
A person is smart. People are dumb.
Yes. Well,
if you know where that quote is from.
Yep. No, you're 100% right about that. All right, people. We'll see you next time. Later.
Peace.
Later, guys.
Later.